Okay, let's, you should probably have a sitter open in front of you, so this sure makes sense. The, we're going to talk about the conclusion of Shir HaSayam. We're going to talk about the end of Azriah Shir. So we spent the previous two Shirim talking about the overview of what Azriah Shir is about. Then last time we met, we went, you know, piece by piece through each pasuk, explaining how the pasukim fit into that theme about, you know, Hashem's reality in the world, and Hashem controls everything, and Hashem's vengeance on our enemies, all of those things. Now let's turn to the ending part. There's actually two ending parts. We're going to talk about the first ending part. And that is the apex of Shir HaSayam is the pasuk Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. That's seemingly somewhat towards the end of the Shira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the king forever. It's like a shout. It's an excitement that came from the mouths of B'nai Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, as they experience the crossing of the sea and the Egyptians drowning in the ocean, and now they're safe. They just burst out with this excitement. Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. Hashem is going to be, you know, the king forever and ever. And in fact, we say in Shachris, before we start Shemesh, right? Yachad Kulam Hodu V'im Lichu V'amru. All together, they all thanked and they said about Hashem, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. So that line is so important that we repeat it in Shachris. We may even say it in Ma'ariv, Malchus Sovarosin Kivoleim, they accepted the kingship of Hashem. So let's talk about this pasuk, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed, what it means, what it's doing there in the Shir HaSayam. There's a medrash in the Vayikra Rabbah. Everyone has the medrash in front of them, Vayikra Rabbah, in Perek Beis. Kach Amar Moshe L'pnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said to Hashem, Ribono Sha'olam, Master of the Universe, Mishivim Omos Avsinitios, Sheish Lecha Ba'olamecha, of all the 70, you know, nations, amazing nations you have in your world, Iyatam Mitzavo Si, El Al Yisrael. And look, you give a special commandment only to the Jewish people. What makes them so special? Sabbath B'nai Yisrael, Emor El B'nai Yisrael. You say, command B'nai Yisrael, speak to B'nai Yisrael. What did B'nai Yisrael do that makes them so special in your eyes? Amar Lei, says Hashem to Moshe, Hein Shim Lechuni Tchila Al Hayam. It's because they made me the king. They made me their king on the Yamsuf. We said Hashem is the king. We're going to do whatever Hashem wants. V'amro li Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. So that line, that expression that came from the mouths of the Jewish people was incredibly beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you say Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed, Hashem will be the king forever, that is something that connects very much in a deep way with Hashem and the Jewish people. It's become foundational. In fact, on Rosh Hashanah, in the bracha of Malchios, so we talk about Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros in the davening of Rosh Hashanah. So the last pasuk of the section of Malchios of Hashem's kingship is Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed, and we say it many times every day. Some say it before Baruch Shamar. Everyone says it during Yehi Chavod and Shir HaSayam. We say it in the bracha of Gal Yisrael before Shmona Esrei, in Shachris and Marav. We say it in Ashrei Yuvalet Zion. Afterwards, we say it three times every day when we say Aleinu. Ve'al Kein Kabbalacha, we say again at the end, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. Did everybody notice until tonight how often we say this line? We say it probably like 10 to 11, 12 times a day. Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. It's throughout our davening everywhere. Clearly, it's something that Chazal felt was important that we need to get into our heads, that we need to recognize and know that Hashem will be the king forever. Look at this comment of the Mechilta. The Mechilta, again, is the Medrash on Sefer Shmos. The Mechilta says, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili taught, Ilu Amru Yisrael Al-Hayam Hashem Melech Olam Ve'ed, Lohay Se'um Avaloshon Shalatzes Ben Olam. If B'nai Yisrael would have said, Hashem is the king forever and ever, Hashem Melech, not Hashem will be, but Hashem Melech, Hashem is the king, then no nation and no other country will be able to control us. But we said, in the future, Hashem will be. That's the power of that statement, that it affected the future of the Jewish people. Meaning now, the Jewish people are controlled by other nations. We're under the government of America. We are subject, unfortunately, to the whim and the will of the nations of the world and how we should conduct ourselves outside of Eretz Israel, inside of Eretz Israel. But if we would have said Hashem Melech Olam Ve'ed, Hashem is our Melech in this world, that would have changed the course of Jewish history. That's how that Hashem is the king now, then nobody else would have been in control besides Hashem. That's the power of that statement, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. Now, in all of your siddurim. What's the next pasuk after Hashem Melech Olam Voed? Hashem Melech Olam Voed, right? It says it how many times? It says it twice. Now, if you open up a Torah, I brought for you on the back of your sheets is Az Yashar. I brought for you what it looks like in the Sefer Torah. So you'll find it towards the bottom of the Shira, right? You see it says Hashem Melech Olam Voed? Does it say once or twice?
Once.
It says once. So why did the Baal Hasidr, why did the Rishonim and the Golem decide to write it twice? So this is a minhag that is very old, the Avud Raham, which is the major commentary on the Siddur. So he says that turn to the Halukas in your Siddur. Go to the Halukas after Ashrei. Right? Go to the last Haluka, which is the shortest one. How does it end? Kol ha-neshama takal ya ha-kal ya. And then it says what? What does it do? It repeats it again. Why is it repeated? So the Avud Raham says whenever you finish a section, you repeat the pasuk twice to indicate like end scene, like we're done. So the reason why we repeat it over here at the end, says the Avud Raham, v'chein b'shiras hayam koflim pasuk ha-shem melech olam voed mipnei shu sof ha-shira. It's the end. V'im lo haya koflim oso lo haya nira ku sof ha-shira. It wouldn't look like the end. So therefore, he says we repeat a pasuk twice when you want to indicate that we're done. That's the end of it. That's why we repeat it twice. And this is brought as well by other Rishonim. Now, the idea that Hashem Yimloch Olam Voed is the end of the Shira is subject to a very big machlokas that we're going to see in a moment. The Divrei Chamudos, which is a commentary on the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, the Talmud of the Maharam Rothenburg, who's printed in the back of the Gemaras. So the Divrei Chamudos says that when it comes to writing the Shira in the Torah, the words, Ki Vasus Paro, are they written in the style of, go turn back to the other side, you have the Torah in front of you, right? The words Kiva Sus Paro, which talks about the horses of Paro going into the sea, is that written in the style of the Shira Sayam, or is that written in the style of a regular paragraph?
Regular. Not regular, it's like in between.
It's what? In the, when the Torah you have in front of you, what does it say? It looks in the style of the Shira, right? It's not written the regular paragraph, it's written the style of the poem. Well, if that's the case, well then what's the last line of the Shira? Hashem Melech Olam Voed or Kiva Sus Paro? Kiva Sus Paro should be the last line of Shira. Why? Because it's written in the style of the poem. That would make sense, no? So the Divrei Chamuda says, why are we doubling Hashem Melech Olam Voed? That's not really the last pasuk. The last pasuk is Kiva Sus Paro, that Paro's horses came into the sea. So he wants to know, why are we doubling in that case? It must be that Hashem Melech Olam Voed is the end of the Shira, and Kiva Sus Paro is something else. Maybe, he says, we double the pasuk of Hashem Melech Olam Voed because it's so beloved to us. We saw how many times we say it in davening. Jewish people repeat it all the time. It's on Rosh Hashanah davening. So therefore, says the Divrei Chamudos, it must be that Hashem Melech Olam Voed is so beloved to the Jewish people, we just have to say it twice. Right? It's so nice to say it twice. That's what it is. That's the idea over here. The Beis Yosef says we shouldn't repeat the pasuk because it's not the end of the Shira. But he has to do with certain amounts of name of Hashem. Hashem has to appear in the Shira. We'll talk about that maybe next week. But in fact, we do double the pasuk because it doing so will maybe reach the proper names of Hashem, whatever it is. At the end of the day, we repeat the pasuk. All the siddur, everybody here, you all have the same siddur because you all go shopping in the same siddur store. But all the siddurim have the same thing. Hashem Melech Olam Voed twice. So it must be that we paskin either that's the end of the Shira, or we love it so much that we say it two times, and that's what the pasuk is repeating. Okay, good. Let's move on to the next thing. What's the next pasuk after Hashem Melech Olam Voed? What?
Kiva
Sus Paro. Okay, so.
Once, my siddur says something else.
What does your siddur say?
I don't say. I never learned it with that, but it says Hashem Akute.
It's not Hebrew, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Say that.
Why did she say that?
Because
it's something
I never learned.
Can I see your
siddur?
Well,
has stuff in it. I don't know.
No, this is right. Okay. In all of your siddurim, you have an Aramaic line, one piece of Aramaic. Okay. And that is the Targum, uncle. If you open up a Chumash, That line's the Targum Onkelos of Hashem Melech Olam Voed. Okay? Hashem Malchusei Kaim Le'olam Ulmeil Maya. That the Malchus of Hashem stands forever, forever and forever. That's what it says. That's what it is. Simply the Targum Onkelos of Hashem Melech Olam Voed. You should be saying it. There's no reason not to say it. Okay?
So why do we not learn it?
I understand. You were taught to skip it.
We had a song.
It wasn't in the song. No. You should. There's no reason to skip it.
Your first art never sitter.
Yeah.
Did you that at your sitter class?
Yeah.
It wasn't in it.
I've never
really?
Because we didn't know how to read Aramaic.
I don't know. So I think we should. I think we can handle saying the five, you know, six words in the morning. So let's explain what's going on over here. Let's look at the Targum Onkelos, and let's explain what's going on here. When we recite the Targum of Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Voed, it means that Hashem Malchusei, meaning Hashem's kingdom, should be Kaim. There's different, happens to be, if you want to get really technical, some versions of Onkelos have the word Kim, some don't, but it means it endures Leolam in this time, Ulmei Olmaya, and forever. This minig of saying it comes from the Arizal. The Arizal, and this is recorded by the Magen Avraham, the Arizal says, you should recite that pasuk, Shnaim Mikra V'Echad Targum. So you repeat the pasuk twice, Hashem Elohim twice, and then you say the Targum, and that's what's going on over here. Now, let's understand exactly what's being said here. Let's look at a piece of the Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Beshalach quotes the Onkelos, and he has some problems with it. He says, Hashem Elohech Lamvad, Yomar, meaning, Ki hara'ata ki hu melech v'lo shilton al hakol. That we are seeing now that he is the king, and he has control over everything. Shoshia es avadav, v'avad es moridav. That he saved his servants and he destroyed their pursuers. And this is the will of God to do whatever he wants for all future generations. Meaning, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Voed. Just like Hashem got rid of the Egyptians and saved the Jewish people, he'll do that, the L'Olam Voed, forever and ever. Nothing can stop Hashem. Now, v'onkelos nisnarei mimenu. But Onkelos was fearful, he says. Onkelos was bothered. Ba'avur ki hamalchus be'emes halol elokim hu l'olmei ad. Meaning, why does the Torah have to say that Hashem Melech Olam Voed? Isn't that obvious to everybody that Hashem's malchus will be forever? So Onkelos was very bothered by that pasuk. So Onkelos had to do something where he had to say, because he was apprehensive of translating the pasuk literally, so he had to say something else, that it's in this world and the next world as well. Okay? So he says, L'fichacha so lashon hobe. Therefore, the Onkelos not just only spoke about in the future, but he also spoke about Hashem as the king now and in the future. Hashem malchusei li'olam ulmei olmaya. Kederech malchuscha malchus kol amim. That your kingship is in this world and the next world. V'lo havinosi da'ato bazes l'zrambat. I don't understand why he is so troubled that he has to change the meaning of the pasuk in his Aramaic. That's what the Ramban says over here. But nevertheless, we would explain the Onkelos to mean that Bnei Yisrael are recognizing Hashem's earthly rule at present and in the future. Meaning, what we're saying here in that additional explanation of Onkelos is that Hashem is the king now, and Hashem will be the king in the future. That's what we're adding, right? Hashem Yimloch Olam just means Hashem will be the king in the future. Onkelos is adding what? Hashem is the king now and in the future. That's what we're gaining from that additional pasuk that we should all be saying going forward. Right? Amazing. Okay, now let's turn to the last pasuk in the section. And that is the pasuk of Ki Vasus Parom. Okay? So the Magen Avraham in Siman Nun Aleph records, and cites the Arizal who says, Tov Lomar Im Hashira Pasuk Ki Vasus Parom. It is good to say with the Shira, the additional line of Ki Vasus Paro, that Hashem's, that the horses of Paro came into the sea. Now, Does that mean, what do you think that means? That Kiva Sos Paro is part of Shiras Hayam or not part of Shiras Hayam?
No.
It's not part. Why is it not part? Because the Arizal had to tell you to say it, because I would have thought I should not say it, right? That's the implication. However, with Yaakov Emden, right? You guys know about Rabbi Yaakov Emden here?
No.
No controversials with Yaakov Emden? You guys know Ibishitz, Shabtai Tzvi, nothing?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe? Okay. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, his sitter, understands that Kiva Sos Paro is part of the Shira. Yet, Rav Yaakov Emden has another book on Shulchan Aruch called the Moruk Tziyah. And there Rav Yaakov Emden says, the only reason we say Kiva Sus Paro, that the Paro came in with his horses, is because Kol Parsha Delo Paska Moshe Lo Paskin. We have a rule that whenever there is a pasuk or a paragraph in the way that's written in the Torah, we're not allowed to break up that pasuk or the paragraph. We have to read it all the way to the end. And since the last line of the paragraph is Kiva Sos Paro, so we just kind of like, you know, finish off, we kind of like top it off, because we're already at the end of the paragraph, so we finish it over there as well. And that would seem to be, again, that it's not necessarily part of the Shira. The Vilna Gaon said that for that reason, because it's not part of the Shira, you should not say it. That was the sheet of the Vilna Gaon. Don't say the Pasuk of Kiva Sos Paro, because it's not part of the Shira. Because it's not about Shira Sayam. And that was the meaning of the Gra. In some Siddurim you might find them. That's not the mainstream opinion. Almost all Siddurim quote the full Pasuk, talking about Tara and the horses coming into the water. However, this is really an earlier Machlokas. The Machlokas between the Vilna Gaon and Yaakov Emden, who lived in the 1700s, is really a Machlokas that goes back to the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban in the 11 and 1200s. Okay? This is a very old Machlokas. The Shira is supposed to be written, again, turn over your paper to look at the how it looks like. This style, where you have this funny style of long lines and short lines, is what the Gemara calls areach al gabe levena, space on top of brick. It looks like bricks, right? It looks like a brickwork. And that's supposed to be reminiscent, so to speak, of the brickwork of the Jews used in Mitzrayim, how they were freed. That's the structure of Az Yashir, okay? Where there's space on top of brick. Space on top of brick. So, anything that's not part of the Shira is written in regular paragraph form, right? You see at the bottom there? So, the Masechah Sofrim says that this pasuk is one of the 30 lines that are written, Areach Agave Levena, that it should be written in the style of the Shira. And that's why if you look on the bottom of Az Yashir that you have in front of you, Kiva Sos Paro is written in a paragraph form or a Shira form?
Shira.
It's written in a Shira form, because that's why, that's what the earliest sources say. The Rambam says the same thing as well. The Machzor Vitri, the Talmud of Rashi, all say that's the way it's supposed to be written. Comes the Ibn Ezra on Shmos Tesvah. Look what the Ibn Ezra says. Kiva Sos Paro. Now the horses of Paro came into the sea. Lefi Dati, according to me. Ki Gam Zeha Pasuk Mashira. It is 100% clear to me, says the Ibn Ezra, that Kiva Sos Paro is part of Shiras Hayam. Lahazkir HaPela. Shaya Besoch Pela. To see the miracle that was within the miracle. Kashir Pirashti, as I already explained. Where did he explain this? He explained this in the previous chapter, in Perek Dal Pasach Chavtes. What does the Ibn Ezra say? Listen to what the Ibn Ezra says. I didn't bring it for you in the sheets, because it's long, but I'll tell it to you outside. Listen to what the Ibn Ezra says. How do we imagine what happened to Shira Sayam? Do we imagine that Bnei Yisrael made it all the way to the other side, and then they were all the way on the other side and out, Paro and his chariots came in, and then the water came crashing upon them? Or did something else happen? What's the other possibility? While they were in there, there were two things going on, right? There was Bnei Yisrael being safe with the walls around them, giving them water and the fruit, all those midrashim we learn about, right? Perfectly safe and still. But at the same time, literally right behind them, the walls are crashing down and drowning the Mitzrayim. In the same time, meaning it's cool enough that Hashem split the sea and kept glass walls and dried the land. But within that miracle, says the Ibn Ezra, there was a second miracle. That the miracle itself was working on two fronts. One was saving Bnei Yisrael, as they could walk through on dry land. And the other was the water crashing upon them at the same moment while both the Egyptians and Bnei Yisrael were in the water. Half and half. The Abarbanel says that this is the reason of Hashem Yimloch Olam Voed. Because Ki Vasus Paro came into the water, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the water down on them, and therefore Bnei Yisrael said, oh my gosh, this is incredible. We're being saved while he's drowning them. Hashem Yimloch Olam Voed. And that's what led them to say that, right? They said Hashem Yimloch Olam Voed, Ki Vasus Paro, while Paro and his chariots were drowning, while at the very same moment they were being saved with the walls of water protecting them on each side. That's what Ibn Ezra understands it. And therefore, does it make sense that Ki Vasus Paro was part of the Shira? Yes, because it's a description of why they said Hashem Yimloch Olam Voed. Why do they say Hashem should reign forever? What led them to just burst out with this expression? Because they saw an even greater thing, that they were being saved in the water at the same time, while the Egyptians, it was half and half. One miracle was going on one side, and literally, at a dividing line, on the other side of the water, another miracle was happening, and the Egyptians were drowning. That's what Ibn Ezra says. And this is supported by the fact, which is the greatest fact, what's the biggest raya, what's the biggest proof in the world to Ibn Ezra? Our Sefer Torah. Every Sefer Torah in the world is written with Kiva Sus Paro as part of the song. What could be a greater proof to Ibn Ezra? Everyone understands this? Makes sense? Who disagrees with Ibn Ezra? The Ramban. The Ramban often has harsh things to say about Ibn Ezra. He even writes in his introduction to his comments on the Torah that he gives the Ibn Ezra Tochacha Megula V'Ava Mesuteres. I give you open rebuke, but I have inner love for you. I have great respect for you, Ibn Ezra, but I'm going to tell you when you're wrong. And this is one of the places where he openly rebukes Ibn Ezra. The Ramban says as follows, Ve'einenu kalashon hashira v'anuvos. This line, Ki Vasus Paro, is not part of the song, it's not part of the nevuah. Ava Perusho, what it means is as follows, Az yashir Moshe. Then Moshe began to sing. And then we take an 18 pasuk break. It's like a giant parenthesis. Moshe Rabbeinu began to sing. Parentheses. Then we sing, yada, yada, yada. We say the Shira. And then close parentheses. Then, what does the Torah say? Kivasus paro bayam. When Paro and his horses came into the sea, bayomahu miyad anate immediately lo miyom hamacharas achrechen. It was at that moment exactly they came in. Otamo az kasher basus paro. When the horses of Paro came in bayam into the water, v'heishiva leyam Hashem mehayam, and then Hashem brought the waters upon them, ba'od b'nei Yisrael holchem b'yavashav esocho, while b'nei Yisrael were walking in the side, lagid, to tell us, ki belechtem besocho b'yavashav amra Torah, while they were walking in there, they were saying shira, meaning, it's all a descriptive term. Az yashir Moshe, they said this song. And when did they say the song? Kiva Sus Paro Pesochayam. Do you understand how the Ramban reads the Torah different than the Ibn Ezra? Should I say that again?
Yeah.
I'll say it again. The Ibn Ezra says Kiva Sus Paro is part of the praise of Hashem. That wow, while this was going on, we were singing, we were Hashem Loch Lam Voed, we saw incredible things. Hashem is amazing. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says, Az Yashir Moshe, Moshe Ben Yisrael sang the song. Cue the music, and they sing the song. And when did they sing the song? End parentheses. Kiva Sus Paro. While Paro and his men were coming into the sea, and Bnei Yisrael were being saved. Kiva Sus Paro is a description of when they sang Shiras Hayam. They're not, right? Ibn Ezra and Ramban are not saying the same thing. We understand that? They're giving two understandings here. And according to them, this is the Shita of the Avodah Zarah, the Mordechai, and they understand that this is the actual end of the Shira. Kiva Sus Paro is not part of the song. Rabbeinu Bachya says there are 18 psukim in the Shira corresponding to the 18 brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. Kiva Sus Paro would be the 19th pasuk. That's a proof towards Ibn Ezra, not like the Ramban. There are those who try to combine both views together, try to make shalom between Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, and they want to say that on one hand the pasuk is not part of the Shira itself because it's not in the style of the Shira, but it's also not a description being given by the Torah. And really, Bnei Yisrael added this pasuk at the end of the song as an explanation of the context of the song, and therefore Hashem Yimloch is at the end of the Shira, but it's also an addition. They try to make everybody fit together, but it's not so clear. But that again, that is the ending part of Shiras HaYam. It kind of like wraps it up. Again, just to review, we have a machlokas. What's the last part of it? Why do we say Hashem Elokecha Lamed Led twice? What's the Aramaic line doing there? We try to explain all of those different things.